صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, although the payment of zakah is not confined to the month of Ramadan, Muslims generally tend to discharge their zakah in this month because of two reasons. One, it is easier to keep track of the end of a lunar year after which zakat becomes due. And secondly, the discharge of a fard, an obligation, in the month of Ramadan is multiplied 70 times. So every fard action that we carry out in the month of Ramadan is multiplied 70 folds. And that is why there's a tendency to discharge zakah in the month of Ramadan. Although it's not confined, you're not obliged to discharge your zakah in any particular month. It depends very much on your how you deal with your financial affairs. Now, the verse that I recited before you created a lot of concern and anxiety among the Sahaba. The verse says, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِذُونَ الذَّهَبَ, those who hoard gold, وَالْفِدَّ, and silver, وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and they do not spend it in the path of Allah, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, give them the tidings of a painful punishment. Now, from the apparent reading of this verse, what the Sahaba understood is that you're not allowed to save money. Would it mean gold and silver was the form of currency? It's the equivalent of our cash. So does it mean that those who hoard their cash, who have savings, or who store gold and silver are going to be punished? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu then came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, O Prophet of Allah, this verse is very difficult for the Sahaba. What does it mean? Does it mean that we can't have savings? And after whatever you earn, you fulfill your needs and have to discharge the balance in the path of Allah? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, no, that's not the meaning of the verse. This verse refers to those people who have savings but refuse to discharge the zakah on their savings. So the word, Arabic word, is kanz, and the English equivalent is hoarding. So if you have savings but you discharge your zakah on those savings, it no longer falls in the category of hoarding. So if what this verse then means is that those who have excess wealth and refuse to discharge zakah on their excess wealth, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, give them tidings of a painful punishment, يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا, on that day when this gold and silver will be heated in the fire of hell, فَتُكْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ, and they'll be branded on their foreheads and their flanks, on their sides, on account of hoarding their wealth. This essentially speaks to failing to discharge zakah on your excess wealth. Now, when we talk of the institute of zakah, we generally think of taking out money and giving it to the poor. That is what zakah would mean to most of us. But zakah is an institute. It's not a simple act of taking money and giving it to another recipient. The meaning of zakah, what is found in zakah, is threefold. One, when we talk of zakah, it refers to growth. It refers to growth. Your money needs to grow. It needs to circulate. Number two, when we talk of zakah, it refers to a purification process. And number three, zakah refers to barakah, attracting the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the real meaning of zakah. This is what zakah really implies. It's about growth, it's about purification, and it's about blessings in your wealth. So let us look at the concept of growth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ثَلَاثٌ أُقْسِمُ عَلَيْهِنَّ وَأُحَدِّثُكُمْ حَدِيثًا فَحْفَظُهُ. There are three things that I take an oath on. I swear in the name of Allah, and I'm going to narrate this hadith to you. Guard it, memorize it, remember it. Why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam introduce first talk about an oath and then advised us memorize it, retain it? Because the three things that are mentioned in this hadith goes against human experience. What we see is very different to what actually happens. So he says, فَأَمَّا الَّذِي أُقْسِمُ عَلَيْهِنَا. As for the three things that I take an oath on, number one, is مَا نَقَسَ مَالُ عَبْدٍ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ. That I swear by Allah that the wealth of an individual will never decrease because of sadaqah, because of charity. Now, what is human experience? You have 100 rands, you give 10 rands, in charity you're left with 90. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that is not what happens. Your wealth will never decrease on account of charity. Allah will bring back that wealth in different ways, sometimes beyond your perception. And then he says, وَلَا ظُلِمَ عَبْدٌ مَظْلِمَةً صَبَرَ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا زَادَهُ اللَّهُ عِزًّا. The second thing he took an oath on, he said, is that no person suffers oppression and he makes sabr on that oppression, except that Allah will elevate him in honor and rank. Again, human experience is what? If someone tramples on you, takes your rights away, humiliates you, you feel dishonored. You feel your integrity has been compromised. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the converse is true. If you make sabr and respond appropriately, Allah will elevate you in your status. And thirdly, he says, وَلَا فَتَحَ عَبْدٌ بَابَ مَسْأَلَةٍ. No slave opens the door to begging. He goes around asking people for money. إِلَّا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بَابَ فَقْرٍ. Except that Allah would open the door of poverty for such a person. Again, what is the human experience? You go around, someone gives you 100 rand, someone gives you an X amount of money, and you think you've been enriched. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, the opposite is true. Once you open the door to begging, you have actually opened the door to poverty. So this is the one meaning of charity or zakah. That your wealth, as I said, that the one meaning is growth. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, your charity, your zakah will never diminish your wealth. Another example is once Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam slaughtered a goat and told Aisha radiallahu anha to distribute the animal. And at some point he asked, ma baqiya minha, that, oh Aisha, what is left? So he said, she replied, ma baqiya minha illa katifuha, nothing remains except a foreleg. That's all we have for us. I've distributed the rest. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ma baqiya kulluha, he said, baqiya kulluha illa katifuha. He says, no, Aisha, everything that you've given has remained for us, with us. It's an investment for us, except that foreleg that you've left for us to consume. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the question, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, I've distributed everything, and therefore only a foreleg of the animal remains with us. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what you distributed actually is yours. What you consume will be consumed. So that's the first meaning of zakah. It brings with it a sense of growth. And therefore, in the hadith that I've narrated before you, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that your charity will never decrease on account of, your wealth would not decrease on account of charity. The second is blessing. The meaning of zakah brings with it growth, purification, and blessing. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in various ahadith, speaking about charity in general, says, give charity because two things happen. One, it will serve as your shade on the day of judgment. It will serve as a shade on the day of judgment. And number two, that ajilu bis sadaqat, hasten with sadaqah. Don't delay. Why? Because charity comes in between you and calamity. Charity serves as a barrier and protection against potential affliction and harm. So that is in terms of zakah and charity in general, that serves as a protection, as an insurance against potential hardship, calamity, and difficulty. Then it also brings the unseen sustenance of Allah. A Sahabi narrates, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Bainama Rajulun, whilst there was once a man who was in the wilderness walking, and suddenly he hears a voice in the sky which says, Isqi hadiqata fulanin, that instructing the cloud, go and rain down upon the orchard of a certain individual, and the name is mentioned. So this person stays, you know, amazed. He says, what's the purpose and meaning behind all of this? So he follows the direction of the cloud. And the cloud eventually comes to a certain location, and it begins raining. This person looks for the owner of this land and asks, what's your name? And when he gives the name, it's the same name that he heard that was announced. And he says, tell me, what do you do to attract this kind of unseen help in your life? So this person says that whatever I harvest from this orchard, I give one third in charity, I spend a third on my family, and I reinvest a third into my business. That action of giving one third of his harvest attracted the unseen help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his wealth, in his orchard. Then we spoke about the meaning of zakah. It is as a form of purification. So one is, when you discharge zakah, it purifies your wealth. How? Allah says, وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ, that in their wealth, excess wealth, there is an allocated share, lissail, for those who ask and those who are unable to ask for whatever reason. That means the needy have a share in the excess wealth of every Muslim. That share is discharged through the Institute of Zakah. So when you discharge your zakah, you're actually purifying your wealth and giving off what does not belong to you. Secondly, when you discharge your zakah, it's a purification of the heart. Allah says in the Quran, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً, that take, O Prophet of Allah, take the charity from them, from the Muslims, تُزَكِّيهِمْ تُطَهِرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ, which would cleanse and purify them. So the Institute of Zakat has a profound impact on our own character. When we're discharging zakah, it's purifying, cleansing us from the grime of greed, from materialism, from selfishness. It is instilling the qualities of empathy, sympathy, generosity. It is building your trust in Allah, that you believe that when you give, you're going to receive. So it's a very powerful internal mechanism to purify your character. Then it purifies the heart of the recipient from jealousy, from feeling deprived. It acknowledges, zakah acknowledges the challenges that the less deprived feel. So it is purifying them. It's also, zakah is also, has a profound impact on your well-being as an individual. Not only zakah, but charity in general. There have been various, experiments or research done on the link between happiness and charity. People who give charity are found to be more happy, more content, and more satisfied with their life. And therefore Allah says, من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. That person who does good deeds and is a believer, we will confer on him حياة طيبة. حياة طيبة, according to one tafsir, is we will bless you with a life full of contentment, inner peace, fulfillment, happiness. So when we're discharging our zakah, you know, there's a famous saying that when the purse gets empty, the heart gets full. When the purse gets empty, the heart gets full. In other words, when you're giving, you are receiving contentment, peace, and happiness. So, we need to approach the Institute of Zakat holistically, understand that it's not simply taking out money and giving. It's about growth, it's about blessing, it's about purification. And the underlying motivation is to believe that I need the reward of giving more than the needy person needs the money or receiving the money. That's the motivation. You're doing it for yourself, you're not doing it for anyone else. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillah.